recorded.
This meeting is being recorded.
Got it.
It's that time again. Welcome to another phenomenal episode of the Northern Nerdcast. Joining me as always is my right-hand man, Clayton, if you will. Adam is not available today. So we just wanted to get back into doing some chatting. Clayton, what you been playing lately?
Actually, Cyberpunk 2077. I know, the bane of your existence, but
it's not so bad now.
Yeah, they released the next gen upgrade for it, and I'm finding that it runs much more stable now. There was a while there where I would try to play it every once in a while, but I just kind of stopped bothering because, well, everybody knows, right?
If you know, you know.
The driving is actually a lot better now, and I find I still find that the bikes handle better than the cars, though.
They do. Yeah, absolutely.
Which is strange. You would think it'd be the other way around.
Unless you start as the Nomad class and then you get that car to start, that car handles phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it's a fast car for a little piece of shit. So.
Which I did not get. Yeah. Also, I made the mistake of one of my friends was telling me I punched fingers, which I guess if you know about that too. But apparently if you don't punch him, you end up getting one of the best or the best cybernetic legs in the game. And I just couldn't help it. I just looked at him and I was interrogating him and I don't know. I just lost my head. I hated his answers and I punched him. So, and it was funny too, because I punched him once and then I punched him twice. And then the second time he didn't get back up again.
You killed him.
And it was like such a solid punch that his head hit the floor and I was like, okay, we gotta go.
So, he actually if you let him live, he actually has some pretty decent upgrades and stuff too.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah, he was a creeper, that was for sure. Like just the look on his face, you couldn't help but not punch him.
His little pencil mustache and his gross ponytail.
This is like an 80s porn star.
Yeah, so I've been rolling through that, and it's been quite a bit of fun now. I only had one game crashing glitch where I had to actually start over again. And now I feel like my patience was warranted, because even though I got off the hype train when the game came out, right? And I said, no, it's not ready yet. It's not ready yet. And I let them patch it. And finally now it runs stable enough that I feel like I'm getting the experience that they were trying, like that they were promising us.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's still not 100% there, but it's pretty awesome. Like it is pretty awesome now. I don't have a bad taste in my mouth from not playing it before. I just had to wait an extra year to play it. That's
all. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a horrible game. Like it obviously had problems. Like I still had game crashing bugs. And for a while I'd stopped playing, and then they came up with a couple hot fixes and all that stuff. And it gradually got better, but it's just like, it's when you're playing on the PS5, like with the haptic feedback, when it rains and stuff, like you actually feel the raindrops bouncing off your controller. Like that, it's just how cool that controller is.
That's freaking cool. Yeah.
And like, even when you're playing, what's it called? Ghost of Tsushima, like, and you're running across bridges and stuff, like you feel the galloping from when you're running on bridges and wood, and when you're going through grass, you can actually hear the grass swaying in your controller. So it's pretty cool. But
you know, it's really funny actually, if you play like even last generation before, when the Rumble Pack originally came out for the Nintendo 64, you know, and whatever other controllers had rumble feedback, I was like, you know, whatever, this isn't a big deal. But then the 360 controllers, like in the PlayStation controllers, had rumble in them. And it wasn't until I actually got used to that I realized how dead the controller feels in your hands when you don't actually have the rumble. Like when your battery goes below 10% or whatever, and you're playing and it's like battery power low, and it shuts off the rumble feature, the controller just feels dead in your hands and you actually miss that feedback. So I don't have a PlayStation 5 yet. I'm just not that lucky. But the haptic feedback, I have to imagine, is like the next step up. And it must be hard. Like if you play a lot of PS5, it must be hard going back to basically anything else, because a controller just feels like a cinder block in your hand.
Yeah. Well, and especially like, I have an Xbox Series X controller now, but like when you're playing a shooting game, like you, when you're pulling down on the R2 trigger, like it gives it, you have to actually like not force it, but it's not like you can just tap it. Like if you want to go full submachine gun in a game, first person game, you hold down the controller and you can feel the pushback.
That from, active like, resistance. Yeah.
So it's
that's cool.
It took some getting used to it first, but like, it's like you said, like it's very hard to go back and play on the PS4 Pro.
Yeah. Cause like, I know that on my Xbox, like on my Elite controllers, I love the fact that you can shorten the trigger arc. Like when I play like when I play shooters, obviously when I play racing games, you know, I want that full range of motion on my triggers. But when I play shooters, oh yeah, I flip that thing up and it's hair trigger on every weapon. Tick, 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 tick.
Yeah.
So
I'm obviously playing the crap out of Horizon Forbidden West. Like,
yeah,
man, if I like, it's, I mean, it obviously like any game there's minor issues. And I mean, minor, like for me, a lot of people were put off by just how one-sided, like, or not one-sided, but like how blocky Aloy talks. And it's nothing to discredit Ashley Birch. Like she killed it as Tiny Tina. Like it's almost like they said, okay, we're kind of like you got to be kind of primitive, but at the same time, not blocky, and it's just that doesn't bother me, like, because that's just the style of game. Like I like that's the, and that's the one thing about like Fallout, like, yeah, they're stuck in like the 1940s and 50s, but that's when the nuclear blast happened in the game, and like you're talking about like sonophone players, like where you're cranking it to get music. That's just the style to me. That's just the style of game, and like I'm loving it.
I understood right away that was a design choice, but I felt like for the amount of time that had passed, like language hadn't evolved at all. It was really weird. Like I just felt it really strange. Whereas you play a game like, or you watch a show like say The 100, where it's only been 100 years and people speak in fully formed English, but they don't remember anything that came before. They just like basically went full retard.
Yeah.
That is one end of the scale, you know. But then you have another one. I don't know if you've ever read, like, I'm big into like languages and stuff like that. And I really like it when they go the extra distance to create something that's kind of halfway in between. Like I remember in the old Panzer Dragoon games, they actually created an entire language just for the game. The same with Far Cry Primal. And you had to have subtitles on because it wasn't English. But I wanted a more primitive sound out of them. And I really had a hard time because the only reason I was playing Horizon Zero Dawn was for the story.
Yeah.
I thought it was an incredibly cool setting and I really wanted to get into it. But man, I just could not get past the language. It just bothered me so much. And it seems like such a nitpicky thing, but for some people, it's going to be graphics. For some people, it's going to be sound. But my thing that I can't get past is voice acting. Like, I have a real problem with voice actors. And like you said, it's not to put anything against her. That was the dialect or the sound that they were going for. But it just, bounces off my ears the wrong way.
Yeah, and it's not for everybody. And like the only, like if I had to take one negative, like one big negative for me away from the story is, and Dying Light 2, which is another game right now, Dying Light 2 is on the back burner, and not because it's a bad game. Like maybe I'm fortunate that I'm playing it on PC, but I have not experienced any of the issues that I've been hearing about it. Like, I haven't played multiplayer with my friends. You can actually play the whole story through multiplayer. My problem is there's a lot of, and this is my gripe about Horizon, is there are so many side characters that you don't remember everybody. Like, obviously you're going to remember Aloy. You're going to remember Erend. You're going to remember the Sun King of Vod, because they were prominent, and Varl, they were prominent characters in Zero Dawn. But there's all these characters that appear, and I don't know if I missed it or if it was in the Frozen Wilds expansion, but there's some characters that Aloy talks to as if I'm supposed to know who they are. And like, they're having all these conversations. Like, there's this one character named Petra. I cannot remember this girl from anything. And that's the thing. Like, there's so many characters. And again, with Dying Light 2, you don't remember like 3/4 of them other than the ones that are progressing the story. But like right now I'm probably 25 hours in. I have so much fun doing exploring, and the climbing aspect is another big issue for me again. Okay. So now I'm starting to nitpick, but you should be able to pretty much climb everything. You shouldn't have to scan the environment to see where your gold X's are that you can climb. But that's a minor thing. One thing that they've done is if you want to just play the game for the story, you can actually go into guided mode where it's like, it's one step below story where there's still going to be combat, because obviously the game is a combat centered thing, story. But like, it's basically holding your hand and saying, okay, go from this point to this point, and it'll give you like a guided, like,
tour,
how many steps. Minor spoiler, like you get a glider halfway, like near the beginning of the game, not halfway through, where you can jump off a really tall building if you can't find a zip line, and you can glide all the way down, which is pretty cool because you can get some epic screenshots and photo modes enabled and stuff like that. But in general, I'm having a blast, and like, you can't not spoil this game without talking about it, but there is a lot of sci-fi in this game compared to Zero Dawn, like a lot. Mm-hmm. It's almost like taking what Star Ocean was, not the current stuff, but what it used to be, where like you have primitive settings and then you have this advanced culture that comes. But like, that's all I can say without spoiling, but like, it's a very sci-fi centered sequel, and so far I'm having so much fun with it. It's not a perfect game, and unfortunately both Horizon titles have this distinct title. So Horizon Zero Dawn will forever be the game that was known of coming out 4 days before Breath of the Wild. Okay. Forbidden West has the title of being a game that came out 4 days before Elden Ring. So they're both overshadowed by these, I'm not going to say vastly superior games, because the nice thing about gaming is you don't have to like everything. Elden Ring right now is getting rave reviews, but it's getting rave reviews from the majority of reviewers. It's getting, like I showed you screenshots, it's getting review bombed on Metacritic by people that are, the main complaint is that it's too hard. It's a From Software game. You know what you're getting into. And actually I was just on ITG Daily, and we were talking about this. Hideki Mizuki, I think that's his name, the guy that created Miyazaki. Big up with this. He apologized for the difficulty of this game. Don't apologize. Really? You know, people know exactly what they're getting into. Bloodborne, like all these games, you know exactly what you're getting into. Yeah. There's no reason to apologize.
I will tell you, as a man who has platted Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, I have no pity for you.
Yeah, like I am not
a particularly skilled gamer, but I am persistent.
Yeah,
you know, and you don't just get to, you know, like with these FromSoft games, if you want to play an easy open world game, go and play like something like Breath of the Wild, go and
Horizon,
play Skyrim or Horizon or whatever, where you can turn the difficulty down.
Mm-hmm.
But don't try and mess with the Souls.
Well, that's the one thing that I'm not worried about. But Strangers of Paradise or the Final Fantasy one.
Yeah,
they got so much backlash from the difficulty setting because people were expecting it to be another action RPG like Dirge of Cerberus or Crisis Core, and not realizing, or maybe just naive to the fact that it's a, what is it, Team Ninja that's mm-hmm. doing the nope. game, and Ninja Theory. So maybe Ninja Theory, whoever is known for the Souls game of Ninja Theory, Ninja stuff. They actually had to put in an easy setting now. So now you have a choice of how hard you want your game to be. And
yeah,
I mean, I don't know. I'm still going to pick it up because it's a Final Fantasy game. And the original Final Fantasy is still up there in games that I enjoy playing. Like I have it on PSP and I won't get the pixel version. I just can't spend $29 on a enhanced graphic game. But he shouldn't have had to apologize for how tough the game was.
I wouldn't have.
No.
I wouldn't have. I just said, look, you know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
And the thing is, though, is that hard games, difficult games, there's nothing that's ridiculously complex about the combat. If I understand correctly, the combat in Elden Ring, because I haven't played it yet, because I'm still playing.
It's Skyrim. 7. It's Oblivion.
But the combat's better than Skyrim. It's better. Yeah. It's more complex than Skyrim, but it's not as complex as Dark Souls. So the thing is that when you come across one of those games,
Team Ninja. Sorry, that's I'm just checking.
That's Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah,
and Neo. The thing is about those games is that the combat systems are not super deep, but it's all in your persistence. It's all in the battle. They're incredibly sad. I don't want an easy Souls game. I want them to be hard because it's so incredibly satisfying when you actually beat it. Yeah, you can whine. It took me there are bosses in Sekiro that it took me a week to beat. No shit, a week every day practicing.
Yeah.
You know, because there are skill checks where they say, okay, you want this? You want to keep on going? This is what you're going to have to do. And it's not impossible because people do it.
Yeah.
Some guy did it with a Guitar Hero controller. They finished a DS3. It can be done. There's people doing no hit runs of Dark Souls. This stuff can be done, and it can be done by average people. Because like I said, I'm not I don't know why I play a lot of really hard games, but I'm not a great gamer. I've finished most of the Ninja Gaiden games, including the old NES ones. But I'm not good. I wouldn't say that I'm good. I get mad sometimes. But I stick with it.
Then Ghost Runner would not be for you. And I'm not saying it to challenge you, but I played it, phenomenal soundtrack, but it's just, I can't get past the one hit kill and you're done. You're dead. You have to the load screens are so fast. You get right back into it, but it's just, it gets so maddening. And you know, the funny thing is I have it on three systems. I have it on PC, I have it on PS5, and I have it on the Switch.
I'm sure I am going to end up playing it because it sounds cool and it sounds like it's right up my alley.
Yeah.
But I don't think he should have apologized. I still want hard games.
Yeah. Because it's not all about just the story-driven games. Everybody but has the their genre.
If they make it easy, if they make it easy, it's basically just run up to an enemy, bash, 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 and then you're done. You know what I mean? You don't get into any of the real depth. You don't get into the nail biting combat where you're one hit away from dying, and the enemy is one hit away from dying, and you've been fighting them for 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Like
the old school Nintendo games, Battletoads was known for that.
Exactly. And you just got to be the guy. You just, I can't even tell you in FromSoft games how many times it's been down to that 1% versus 1% of health.
Yeah.
And it's just like
nail biting. Oh my God. Death.
Yeah. Yeah. Am I going to do it? And then you actually do it. And it's just, it's so satisfying. I don't know why anybody would want to give that up. The only reason I could think of that people would want to not experience that is because they've never experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they don't have the fortitude to stick it out and make that happen.
Yeah.
I guess they could have added an easy mode, but it would have just destroyed, it would have basically destroyed the design principles of the game. So
now the just because I know you said you had to punch out soon, but I obviously Adam's our Nintendo guy, so I want to do a recording or a chat with him about the Nintendo Direct. But it seems like it's going to be a really good year for gaming. Like you've got Xenoblade 3, which was confirmed for this year. Chrono Cross Radical Dreamers Editions coming out very soon, actually. It's not the remake that people wanted, but like I'm excited. But the only problem is I'll get it, but there's unless it's coming from Play Asia, there's going to be no physical edition, and that bugs me.
No, I was so stoked when I heard the announcement. I was like, oh my God, they're remaking Chrono Cross. That's awesome. I love that. That's great. But then I saw what they did, and I'm like, I didn't wait 20 years for this. You know what I mean? Like, I still have extremely fond memories of Chrono Cross. I played the absolute hell out of it. But I'm not getting out of bed. I'm not putting other games that are in my backlog further onto my backlog for a game that looks like it was basically just up-rezzed. I don't really see, like, I've seen enough of these up-rezzed PS1 and PS2 games to know basically what I'm getting. And I feel like Square's really phoning it in.
Yeah, but they know that people will buy it because it's 20, well, it's even more than 20 years old. It's like 25 years old at this point. But mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it. I love the Xeno Saga, like the Xeno series. So the new one, the voice actress actually got into a lot of trouble last year when she announced ahead of time, breaking NDA, that it was coming. But the one thing that I'm really surprised by, and this retail store or this retail company in Mexico has been very good with their predictions, and they actually have God of War Ragnarok listed for a June release.
Mm-hmm.
So like this could be a really good exciting summer. Like
is pretty exciting, but are they releasing it on PS4 as well as PS5?
Yes. So you don't get the actual PS5. Like I can't really compare because I like Horizon did it and Ghost of Tsushima while it came out on the PS4 first. Mm-hmm. But like part of me wants to buy a PS5 version only just to see if there's any graphical enhancements that were not available from the free upgrade. But I think God of War is going to be, I think God of War, as they said, was going to be the last PS4 or PS5 thing. And then they're going to start focusing specifically on PS5. And this debate can go back and forth. It should have happened a year ago. They should have been focusing on PS5 because it's like you said, there's really no reason to buy a Series S or a PS5 when everything's coming on PS4 right now anyways. Other than the graphical enhancements.
But everything can be done, like all of the graphical enhancements and the load times and all of that kind of stuff, that can all be done through online services. Right. Yeah. So you can get people to buy the current gen version, and then you can either offer them the next gen version.
Well, you told me about that.
Or you can charge them a small fee to upgrade, mm-hmm. but basically you're getting the sale. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And I think that the only reason that they have let it go on this long is strictly because of COVID, strictly because of supply and demand, right?
Yeah.
They want to sell as many copies of God of War as they possibly can. But the financial payoff is not going to be worth it if the installed user base of the PS5 is, you know, lower than a certain point, which it is obviously lower than the point that they want it to be at, right?
Yep.
Like they want PS5s in a lot more homes, and people out there want more PS5s. They just actually cannot get them. They can't satisfy the demand. So if you can't satisfy your demand, the only option that you can go with is to satisfy your existing user base. And then gradually, as more people get the PS5, when they release the upgrade, or if they release it side by side, you get both sales. You get the PS4s and the PS5s, because the PS4 has a huge installed user base, right?
Yeah.
So they can benefit from all of those. They can benefit from all of those people as well, right? And they don't really have to hold the game back. They just have to minimize a few features or like pull back a few features.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the optimum version or the optimized version will be the next gen PS5 version.
Yeah.
So I can't get a PlayStation 5. And honestly, I just got my Xbox Series.
Exactly.
X,
so exactly.
I'm not working that hard to get a PS5, but I will buy God of War Ragnarok.
And I mean,
if they offer it on PS4, I will buy it.
Yeah, well, and like I would definitely suggest getting Forbidden West. If you can't get past the linguistics, then it's gonna stick with you the entire time you're playing the game. But now that again, this is something that Drew and I talked about. Because originally, like, PlayStation not spoiled, but PlayStation announced that God of War was coming 2022. A lot of people thought it was 2023 because it had been pushed from 2021 to now, and then nobody heard anything. Now there was a card holder or a title holder for September 30th, 2022. And like, we had talked about this before, you and I and Adam. It's kind of a random day for a title holder. Usually it's December 31st, 2022 or 2023.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, now all of a sudden it's being reported of a summer, June, 2022. And Drew had brought up a really good point, is why would Sony want to do it in June and not have that Christmas sale? And I said that I think Sony's known for surprises and dropping stuff, like not last minute, but a couple months before, saying, hey, this game's coming. To me, if Sony is actually going ahead and doing this in June, they have not confirmed it yet, by the way. This is just hearsay from a retail outlet that has predicted before correctly on summer release times. If Sony is doing this, to me, that means that there's probably something big coming in quarter three, quarter four of this year. Again, just speculation, but that's what I think. I think that we're going to see some big title. Maybe Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2. Like, I know it's coming it's supposed to be coming multi-plat. Nothing's been announced for Xbox yet, but it's on Steam now, or is it on Epic?
I'm not sure.
Maybe that drops. And now, would that be as big as God of War? Probably not. But a lot of people have been wanting Remake Part 2. Maybe Final Fantasy 16 is ahead of schedule now. Instead of 2023, we're going to see it in quarter three. Who knows? But I think in general, this year is going to be amazing. Like, we're already March and we've got four massive titles. And then you've got Gran Turismo, and that game is not for everybody.
Yeah.
But Gran Turismo, no. I think, drops tomorrow, or it drops.
That's what I was going to say, actually. I think you're definitely on the right track. I think that Sony is looking ahead to
Spartacus.
I think that Sony is looking ahead to the last three quarters of the year, because COVID restrictions are dropping. Supply chain issues are going to start to free up. And I think they really want to build a huge head of steam going into Christmas.
Yeah.
So they're getting God of War out early, and they're getting they're getting all of these titles out early. So going into Christmas, I think that the install base of the PS5 is actually going to skyrocket this year. And they're probably looking at having a really strong Christmas season.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they're already planning for that.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what they do. Like I've been hearing, I don't know if you've been hearing about it, but I've been hearing a lot about this Spartacus, which is like PlayStation's answer to Game Pass. I don't really like what I'm hearing, like this whole tiered system where it sounds like what they're doing is what Nintendo Online is doing, is with their expansion packs. You want Sega, it's this amount of month. You want Nintendo 64, it's this. And that's essentially what Sony sounds like they're doing. Like tier one is like PlayStation 1, 2 stuff. Tier two is more inclusive. Tier three is everything. But like PlayStation's already dropped the ball with a lot of their stuff. Like with PlayStation Now, PlayStation Plus, when they did Godfall. They released Godfall for free, but it wasn't even the full game. It was the end game content. Like, who the hell wants that?
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see.
I still think that like they can try and do what they can. Microsoft has been the reigning king of online for quite a while.
Yeah.
Sony's always tried to play catch up, and they've gone through a few different systems now. You used to be able to get stuff for this and that. They famously dropped like PSP support, PS Vita support.
PS3 is gone, or it's going. Vita's not gone yet. They're gonna pull the plug soon.
Yeah, but. Like, and it's too bad too, because that's all hardware that we invested in, right? And we want to see online support for that type of stuff, and they're just not giving it to us, and that's a real shame. But Xbox just started off. I remember way back when everybody laughed because they're like, well, Xbox, you have to pay like $40 or $50 a year. Yeah, but the content we got was so awesome. Or even when it wasn't awesome, it was still better than the free offerings from Sony, because, I mean, it wasn't so much of a loss to them, right? Because they were actually recouping money. And then they took that cash and they put it back into the system. So,
yeah.
But and it'll be interesting to see too what Microsoft does in the second half of the year, because I mean, we've got Starfield coming. I'm sure that we're going to have some kind of an announcement on the next Elder Scrolls. But at the same time too, Bethesda probably doesn't want to do too much to announce anything about Elder Scrolls like major yet, because they want to clear the lane for Starfield.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're talking about Xbox. I just I'm not subscribed, but I get notifications from Video Game Chronicles. Guardians of the Galaxy is actually going to Game Pass.
Oh, nice.
So it says
Lightning
Returns is going, which was don't even get me started on that game. And Flight Simulator. But yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy is going
to Gran Turismo of the Microsoft lineup.
So if you end up playing Guardians of the Galaxy and we end up getting the rest of the cast on, you'll actually be able to come on and have stuff to talk about.
When did they say it's going on Game Pass?
What did I see? It says the next games coming to Xbox Game Pass have been revealed, led by Square Enix's Marvel. So I'm assuming it's going to be this coming lineup. Let's just take a quick look here. Jedi Fallen Order.
How long did it take you to finish
March? I beat it in 20 hours, but I was looking for the cosmetic suits and stuff. Like it's a one and done game. But there are two endings.
That's cool. I would probably stop playing something like Cyberpunk, something super big and meaty, to just chew that up on during a week or something. You know what I mean? I do that sometimes. I'll just pick a random small game or an indie game or something, or like a one and done.
If you want to play a phenomenal game, I had mentioned this before. I picked it up because the value of it skyrocketed. And then Adam made a good point. It's like, if you're going to buy games, open them and play them. Like if I lose out on a sealed game on like $50, then so be it. But anyways, The game is on Switch. I don't know if it's on any other system, but it's called Gris. So it's French for gray. And it's the only thing I can compare it to is Journey from the PS3, but a side-scrolling Journey.
Oh, awesome.
It is, the soundtrack is so good. It's all colors. So like the game starts off gray, obviously. And then as you're going, you're getting color back in the world. It is so, so good.
What's it called?
Gris, G-R-I-S.
Awesome. I would definitely check that out.
Definitely. I'm pretty sure it's on, I know it's on Switch, obviously, because I have it. It might be on Xbox as well, but I'm just checking right now.
Did you ever play The Unfinished Swan?
No, I heard about it, but
never played it. Oh, dude. Something like Journey or Flower or Flow or even this Gris that you're talking about, The Unfinished Swan, you have to play it.
I've heard about it, but yeah.
It's good. It's amazingly good. It tells a really good story. And it's not like little kids can play it and adults can play it. It's almost like a storybook, but it's an amazing game. It was an awesome experience. Totally, totally worth your time. I cannot state that enough. You should really play it. It won't take you but an afternoon to finish it, but you should definitely give it a run.
I just sent you the link that you can watch the trailer for Gris.
Okay.
It's on Steam as well, but it's Switch and Steam.
Okay.
But yeah, I think we'll wrap it up there. Again, I just wanted to stay relevant, get something going. Cause it's now that I'm on a set schedule, it's a lot harder to arrange times and whatnot, but, mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to June. Just getting away for 4 days and doing nothing. Cause we're going to be video game stuff. Yeah. We're going to, the nerd cast is going south.
You should record for that as well.
I'm going to, I'm still not sure if Adam's coming. He's gone silent on that group chat. So I don't know if he's coming or not, but, Robin's thinking of doing his show GameX on the 9th. So if that happens, then we've got a trade show to go check out, for a couple hours before we hit the road, but that would cap off a great weekend. Cause, like Bobby's there, Kamal's there, Kevin from Power Up. Well, Kevin's not really at Power Up anymore. He does a lot of other stuff, but, there's just a lot to do. The pawn shops, like I said, Mike found two copies of Jeanne d'Arc on the PSP at the exact same store. So
nice.
I know he's really looking forward to the chicken wings, and we're going to initiate you into the Toronto trip by sending you in and saying, hi, I'm Clayton. I'm here for my 500 chicken wings.
Yeah.
Sounds
like a plan,
but yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. And it's going to be fun. It was fun last year when Mike and I did it, and it's going to be more fun because there's going to be more of us going. So, yeah.
Nerdcast goes south.
Nerdcast goes south, featuring Mike from Northern Game Expo. But, speaking of Northern Game Expo, I've been getting messages from a lot of vendors asking if we are putting one on this year, because a lot of shows are going forward now that the restrictions as of today are lifted. What can I say without getting everybody on the hype train? The idea has been passed around. Mike and I were looking forward to potentially pushing off this year and doing one in 2023. But recently I've been thinking a lot about it, and like even taking a year off, a voluntary year off, you lose a bit of relevancy. We had really no choice in taking where we had to cancel 2020. That wasn't our call. It wasn't anybody's calls there. What I can say is the idea is not dead for this year. It's just a matter of finding something that works for everybody. And by everybody, I mean the organizers, the vendors. We're just trying to do some logistics with something that we're looking at. Again, I don't want to get too much into it. So that's all I can say. Clayton, I can talk to you more about it off offline. But anyways, it's coming. We just don't know when, where, why, how, you know, all those important questions. But we will end the show there. Clayton, again, thank you for coming on and just chatting games. It's always fun to take this side quest, if you will, where we're not always chatting with the voice actors and
side quest with important NPCs.
NPCs, yeah, you're the NPC here, and unlike
I'm Horizon, the one that you remember.
Exactly, unlike Horizon, I will remember you. So, Clayton, go ahead, plug yourself. You did show me a picture about that you're doing. I'm still waiting for my fucking briefcase, guys. So let's get on that.
It's still in the beta phase. Yeah. The_iron_hobo on Instagram. That's basically where I am right now. I'm just doing art of everything, all kinds of stuff, pencil sketches and whatnot. So you can check it out there. Leave a like if you like it, or subscribe or whatever they do on Instagram. Basically just putting it up there in case my computer crashes and I lose all of my artwork. So
that's awesome. We will pick up again, hopefully with Adam, to talk. We want to focus on is Nintendo Direct. Cause again, Adam is our Nintendo guy. That's his bread and butter, and it'd be good to get his perspective. So we are going to sign off there. Thanks everybody for listening in on Spotify. It means a lot to have all those follows, all those views. You're the reason that we keep doing this content. So we will be signing off for now. Thanks again for tuning into the Northern Nerdcast.
Thanks, guys.